If you take a Bible this morning, turn to 2 Timothy 1 and Isaiah 43. I'm going to preach a two-part message. They can be preached individually, but they're both concerning this same topic here, that ye may know. And you'll see that in a moment when we go to Isaiah 43, that you may know. But Paul, in 2 Timothy 2, Paul writes, "For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." There are some things that God wants you to know. That's why He gave you a Bible. That's why He wants you in that Bible every day, often throughout the day. He wants you to come to His Word. He wants you not just to read it, but He wants you to study it. He wants to illuminate it. He wants to open your eyes. He wants you to know things that will help you in your Christian life to be a light as you walk through a very dark world. He wants you to know that He's with you every step of the way. He wants you to know you can be victorious through His name. He died for you. He can deliver you. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. He says to you and I, and He wants us to know this now. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Verse 11, "I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Verse 12, "I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." You can only be His witness if you know Him. You can only be a witness to what you know happened, what you have seen, what you have experienced, what you have read. You can only be a witness to what you know. And He says that you may know and believe me, understand that I am He. Do you know the Lord God Almighty? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? The only way to the Father is by the Son. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." He wants you to know that I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. He wants you to know that He has declared there in verse 12, He has saved and He has showed. That's a word to show folks. That He's declared it. We show them in His Word. We tell them how He saved us. And we tell them that He wants to save them as well. That there is no other Savior besides Him. I want to give you some things this morning. Just 3 points this morning. And then I'll have 2 points tonight with several sub-points tonight to go through on that ye may know. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. I thank You for the church. It's where we come to fellowship with the brethren, to be united together, to be encouraged, to sing songs as we worship You, to give our offerings as we worship You, and then to be stirred by the preaching of Your Word, to be drawn, to be convicted, to be encouraged, to be inspired, Lord, to go on for You. Father, I pray first of all, if there's anyone here this morning under the sound of the voice that is lost, that this morning the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed to them, that His eyes, their eyes be opened, that the Holy Spirit would draw them, and that they would willingly respond and come and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. And then for those that are Christians, may their hearts be stirred to know these things. Some things they know, some things You want them to know. There's so much in Your Bible. I'm so glad You gave us Your Word. There's so many things You want us to know as we walk through this life, preparing to meet You. We walk through this life successfully, having been a witness for You, having been victorious over sin, having reached souls for Christ, having been the brightest light we possibly could. There are things You want us to know to help us with that, Father. And I pray this morning we see those. I pray in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. God says that you may know. I could go this series probably for a week so that you may know. In fact, every sermon's preached so you can know something. Amen? Every time you open the Bible, it's so you can know something. But I want to just focus on a few things this morning that you can know. First, turn to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Some things God wants you to know. Listen, I don't know all about your past. I know some things some of you shared. I don't need to know any more than I absolutely have to know because God's the one that takes care of those things. But we've all got things in our past that we wish weren't there, don't we? Young folks, keep your past as clean as you possibly can so that you have fewer regrets in the future. But we've got things in our lives that we regret. Many of them before we were saved. Some things even after we're saved that we regret. But I want you to know this morning that He can forgive you. If you look at Matthew 9 and verse 1, and He entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of them scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know, that ye may know, but that ye may know. God wants you to know this. He wants you to know this. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. That man, sick of the palsy, could not have gone forward, could not have ridden, could not have done anything on his own had he not had been cleansed and touched by the Lord. He could not have picked up his bed. He could not have risen. He could not have gone to testify until he knew he'd been touched. My friend, listen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants you to know, yes, you have sinned. Yes, there's nothing you can do to help yourself. But if you will bring it to Him, He can forgive sins, and only He can forgive sins. And He can touch you. And He can have you arise. And He can give your life brand new purpose in Christ. Life worth the living. Life that's not lived selfish, but life that is lived selfless to go and share others how good Christ is to you. What He's done for you and what He can do for them. Romans 10 reminds us how we are forgiven of our sins. And again, let me read this to you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That word saved encompasses the fact that you will be forgiven. For if you are not forgiven, you cannot be redeemed. You cannot be saved. You have to be forgiven to be saved. And if you will come believing, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We come confessing we're sinners. We come confessing we're worthy of death. We come accepting His forgiveness of sins. Believing on His name. That only He, there is no other Savior, only He, as the Lord Jesus Christ, can forgive sins. Amen? He is very God. Verse 13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, if you're lost this morning, He's telling you if you will come to Him, if you will bring your sin to Him, if you will bring your guilt to Him, if you will believe that He is the only begotten Son of God, that He is very God in the flesh, that He went to that cross, that He died for you, that He arose again, if you will believe that from the heart, if you will confess, He will forgive and He will save. He said, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. If you didn't mean it, He lied, and God does not lie. He wants you to know He can forgive your sins. Christian, maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've walked away from the Lord. Maybe you've done things you think, can I ever be of value again? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, just come this morning and confess. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You will be forgiven. Amen? Now, you don't get saved all over again, but you do get forgiven so you can go on with more power. Amen? Go on with more victories. Oh, listen, folks, we need to come to Christ every day and confess how we failed Him. Confess our sins. Confess how we've offended Him. His mercies are new every day. That means His forgiveness is experienced every day. Isn't that wonderful? He wants you to know that He can forgive sins. That He has power on earth to forgive sins. Number two, 1 John 5. 1 John 5. And verse number 11. And this is the verse 10 rather. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you see in verse 10 down through verse 12, God wants you to know that you right now, presently, have eternal life? In case you don't, look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, there it is again, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Eternal life. I'm so glad, because in this world ways right now, we don't know when our life's going to end. You never do. But especially in this world right now, it is crazy. It is messed up. Evil is running rampant. The devil is having his way, but not for very much longer. Amen? But I want you to know that not just today, but tomorrow and forever, I have eternal life. Eternal life. Life without end. Heaven is my home. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. God is my Father. The Holy Spirit has sealed me there. I've got a mansion waiting for me. I've got fish of gold. I've got the river of life. I am going to a place called heaven. I have eternal life now, because He has power on earth to forgive sins. And August 15th, 1976, He forgave me of all my sins and cleansed me and made me a child of His. He said, Herb, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen? And you may know now that you have eternal life. There are so many folks that are hoping to get it. That are hoping in their life they've done enough to earn it. You cannot earn it. It's by grace through faith. You cannot earn it. It's not of works, if any man should boast. But you can know that you have it. Listen, apart from getting saved, the next most important thing you need to get in your life is the assurance of your salvation. Because without that assurance, you won't get up and rise like a man in a palsy and go your way. You'll flounder, and you'll doubt, and you'll question. Like Thomas, until he saw the risen Lord. The Lord said, you've seen, but blessed are others that haven't seen, and still believe. He wants you to know, simply because He said so, you have eternal life. That's all it takes. God spoke and the world was created, right? And He said, He spoke, that if you believed, you have eternal life. Now, if you have not believed on the name of the Son of God, if you haven't turned your life to Him, if you haven't turned and confessed your sins and that only He can save and put your faith totally in Him, then you're calling God a liar. That's what His verses say. And I would encourage you today, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. Amen? Believe and be saved. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know that you are born again, so that you can stand up with confidence and go out and be a witness. So that you can know you're royalty, you're His son. You can go out into the world and declare to them that He loves them as much as He loves you. And He can forgive them as much as He forgave you. Isn't that wonderful? Look at John chapter 3. These are some familiar verses here, but He wants you to know these things this morning. These are things that if we just know these things, our life will be a greater witness. John 3, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He wants to forgive you. Amen? But that the world through him might be saved, might be forgiven, might be redeemed. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You've been pardoned. Aren't you glad? You've been forgiven. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God says, if you believed, then you're saved. If you haven't believed, you need to talk to us before you leave today. In a few moments, when the invitation is given, you need to come forward and you need to get with a Bible counselor, a fellow believer with the Bible in hand that can show you how you can be saved or get the assurance of your salvation, whatever it is you're really struggling with. If you're saved, you need salvation. If you're saved and doubting, you need the assurance. He wants you to know if you believed on Him, He has already forgiven your sins. He has already given you eternal life. You present, He that hath the Son hath life. Right now, November 15th, 2015, at 11:15 a.m., you have eternal life. Do you know that? John 10. John 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Again, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. It is a gift. It is, I give unto them, here in verse 28, eternal life, and listen to what it says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This world's crazy. It's hard to tell what's going to happen today. But they cannot take me out of God's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He wants you to know that. When you come by way of the Son, you come to the Father. When you are the Father, you are born again. You are His child. You are sealed there, Ephesians 4:30, by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Purchased by the blood, sealed by the Spirit. Hallelujah! God is good. 1 John 2:25. 1 John 2:25. God wants you to know these things. He doesn't want you to flounder about these. He wants you to get these things settled in your heart. He wants you to know your sins are forgiven. He wants you to know you have eternal life. Verse 25 of 1 John 2. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. My friend, God does not go back on His Word. He does not lie. If He promised that if you believe, He'd give you eternal life, the very moment that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and turned your life over to Him and gave your soul to Him, He sealed you, He cleansed you, He saved you, He forgave you, you're His, He promised it, He can't go back. Amen. The third point then, Ephesians chapter 1. My third and actually my final point. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at me, if you would, at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things of the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Back then in verse 18, He wants you that you may know what is the hope of His calling. You see all that God's promised you there in those verses, the riches of glory and the eternal power He has and all those things. He's promised that to you. He wants you to know what He wants you to do with the rest of your life. He wants you to know that the folks He's put in your life are your mission field. That's your calling. Amen? You've been sent. He wants you to know He's got a purpose. He did not leave you and I here to flounder, to fail. He did not leave you and I here to live for ourselves. He left us here to be a shining light, to point folks to the cross, to point folks to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our calling. You are to find out in your life what that calling involves, and you are to follow Him. You are to be His disciple. He wants you to be used to reach heaven and not have been used to influence souls will be the greatest failure a Christian can have. He wants us to influence folks for Christ. And that means we have to follow His calling upon our lives. You say, well, should I quit my job? No. He may have called you there. And you got co-workers there at your mission field. Should I move? Not necessarily. He may have put you in that neighborhood to reach your neighbors. They're your mission field. Amen? You've got to know that. You've got to get in the Holy Spirit. You've got to find out, Ephesians 5, what the will of the Lord is, being full of Spirit, knowing what the will of the Lord is. You've got to find out. When God brings someone across your path, when God puts someone in your life, you know that's part of your calling. That you may know the hope of His calling. He's hoping that you'll follow. He's hoping that you'll believe. He's hoping that you'll know. So you can go. In fact, don't you hope to know His calling? Isn't that your hope? To know who you're supposed to reach? To know what your life is supposed to be? To know the fullness of His power, of His Holy Spirit in your life? As we taught in Sunday school this morning, that you can bear much fruit. He abides in you, and now you have to abide in Him. And if you will abide in Him completely, you can bear much fruit. If you will stay in the Word, if you will stay on your knees, if you will be in the house of God and the doors are open, if you will follow Him, if you will abide in Him, I'm telling you folks, you will bear much fruit. He said so. He cannot lie. You may not know all of it till you get to heaven before you realize how many bushes of fruit you actually have. But I guarantee you, you'll know some of it here too. If you will just know the hope of His calling. What does God want from your life? When you meet Him, and you say, well, I didn't know. He's going to show you clearly where He revealed to you, where He tried to reveal to you, where He showed you, but you doubted. You didn't accept it. You didn't want it. But you can know it. And if you have followed Him, if you have known that, keep at it. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Now's not the time to quit, my friend. Now's time to dig in our heels and go harder. Full steam ahead. Knowing that we are here on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His light in this world that is growing darker by the minute. Darker by the minute. Colossians chapter 1. Knowing the hope of His calling here. Colossians 1. Look at me at verse number 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How is the world going to know He's real? Well, number one, we share the word with them. Number two, they see Him in us as being real. The world doesn't need any more phony balonies. They need some real McCoys. They need some real believers. They need some Christians that really believe the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, that no one else can save. He says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The world to see Christ in you. It starts inward, but it works outward. Amen? They're to see that in our lives, in our conduct, in our speech, in our manner of living, in our lifestyles. They are to see Christ. In our choices we choose, they are to see Christ. He says in verse 28, whom we preach. And that word preach means to proclaim out loud, with boldness, with force, with authority. To proclaim it. Not ashamed. Not apologizing. This is the only thing that will work. Amen? There is no other way. We have that hope. We know it, don't we? You know He's the only way. Do you not? Then we must preach that. We must proclaim that with authority. Warning every man. That's our calling. That's what we're to do. We're to warn everyone that God puts in our life. And teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's to be our goal. Christ died for the world. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, them gave you power to become the sons of God. Listen, I know our goal is, our desire, our prayer is that all will come. Amen? But we do it for any that will come. And that's our hope. That's why we do it. In Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And look at me in verse 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know you have eternal life, don't you? Don't you want others to know that? Have you seen folks out there that are struggling? That don't know they're going to heaven? Their lives are all caught up in sin. Their lives are caught up in religion. They're so messed up. And they're becoming discouraged and despondent. And you have the hope of eternal life, don't you? Don't you? They need to hear that hope. They need to know that in your life, He is very, very, very real. They need to know this Bible does speak to you. It's not an outdated book. It speaks to believers only. Amen? Other than the lost here, and they need to be saved. They need to know that He does hear and answer the prayers of His children. Then God answers your prayers. They need to see you being victorious over the things of this world that are trying to drag you down. Over the sin that would so easily beset you. They need to see you being conformed to Christ, transformed by the renewing of your mind to Christ instead of being conformed to the world. They must see that, folks. The hope of His calling. This is a faithful saying, and verse 8, "And these things I will thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." These things are good and profitable unto men. God says you're to know it so well that it causes you to do good works. It causes you to try and be more Christ-like and less world-like. Amen? It causes you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It just makes you want to be more like Christ. You know that you're going to heaven. You know you've been forgiven. Thank God someone influenced your life. Amen? And now you're to influence their lives. That's what it's about, folks. That's what we're here for. He wants us that you may know that He has power on earth to forgive sins. That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. In 2 Timothy, where I started out a moment ago, Paul said, For I know. Why was Paul the great apostle that he was? Why did Paul go forward so far without turning back? Why did he finish his race? Why did he keep the full faith? Why did he cross the finish line successfully? Because he knew whom he believed. The devil wants you to be confused, doubted, discouraged. God says He wants you to know. So you can press forward to the mark of the prize, the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For I know and have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Paul said at the end, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." My friend, God wants all to be well with your soul, and He wants you to know it. You hear me? He wants all to be well with your soul. And He wants you to know it. What's happening in the world cannot claim our souls. If you are born again, child of God, they are sealed by the Holy Spirit in the day of redemption, nothing can take your soul back. The devil himself can't get it back. But he wants to get your life. He wants to make your life a wasted life. He wants to make your life ineffective. He casts doubt. He throws out confusion. He throws out all these things trying to mess lives up so that they have doubts. If you doubt, you don't have the confidence. If you don't have the confidence, you don't preach warning to every man. How well do you know these things this morning? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know what the hope of His calling is for your life? Is all well with your soul? Well, let me tell you something. When you lay your head on your pillow at night, the sweetest thing in the world to know is all is well with my soul. I can thank God for the victories He gave me, and I can confess my failures to Him as I go to sleep, but I know that all is well with my soul. Amen? And as I go forward to folks, and I speak with confidence, with boldness, it's because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Do you have that boldness this morning? Is that how well your soul is? It is well with my soul. I know whom I believed, and I'm not going to keep it to myself. He's forgiven me. He'll forgive you. He gave me eternal life. He'll give it to you. He gave me a calling for my life. He has a calling for your life. And to everyone we come in contact with. Amen. If you're here this morning without Christ, why don't you make your way down the aisle in a moment and begin the invitation? Why don't you come that you may know that He has power on earth? Why don't you come that you may know that your sins are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you come and believe on His name and allow Him to give you eternal life that only He can give? Why don't you come this morning, Christian, and find out what the hope of His calling is upon your life? What the next step is He wants in your life? Who the next person He wants you to reach for Him? Who that new person is coming into your life this week that you didn't know is coming into your life? It's going to be the new calling on your life to witness to. Why don't you come pray? Get that power. Find out. And then go out of here knowing what He wants next. Father, I pray You'd be an invitation. I pray You've been in this message. I pray it's been of Your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, I studied it. I prayed about it. I believe it's what You have me to do. And I believe now, Father, that You've gone forth with Your Word to Your children and perhaps those here that are lost, that they will be drawn to Christ. Father, I pray this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. He'd be glorified. The Holy Spirit now be in control of the invitation. That He'd use the Word to draw. And that there'd be much accomplished here in this invitation. On behalf of the name and the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, PA 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, MAIL.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.